Look at yourself and see. Look at yourself and see. All that's needed is already there. Do all the good that you can for all that you can, as long as you can. This kindness of spirit is a goodness just as you are. So precious, it cannot be limited by suffering, pain, or even death. You matter more deeply than you know. Go forth with all that you are and do. Take with you a courage and gratitude that do not belong just to you. It will be all that is genuinely good, beautiful, and true. Namo Amitabha. Good morning, everyone. This morning, already towards the end of October, in the Buddhist calendar, Sangha Memorial Service, the HIQ season, approaches as we remember and reflect to the unbroken passage and lineage of all those who have come before us, all those pioneers and spiritual ancestors by which their care, their dedication and commitment to the teachings of our Shin faith have made it possible for us to receive, to walk together, and to share the gratitude we owe to them. This too, with the inspiration found in Shinran Shonin, all preceding masters, all through the many generations of teachers, have made it possible for us to express our gratitude today. Religion can be a strange affair, despite no one coming back from the grave to tell us about the afterlife. Almost every major religion forecasts a life to come for the faithful upon physical death. Rob Bell's recent book entitled Love Wins challenges the traditional Christian belief in that place of perpetual punishment, hell. Believe it or not, most Americans do believe in hell. A 2009 Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life poll puts the number at 59%. When people were asked why they believe this, they say, quote, because the Bible teaches it, unquote. At least the King James Version does. When we dig deeper, however, we discover that the Bible, actually written in Greek and Hebrew, did not speak of hell, let alone a place of eternal damnation. Instead, the term Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, is used as a shadowy, dreamlike place where all people, good and evil, go. According to one account of the Old Testament, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity, planning, or wisdom in Sheol, where we are going. Even according to the New Testament, in the Gospels, Jesus did not actually talk about hell, though he clearly taught that for each person, there would be a day of reckoning. The 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel proclaims, quote, I was hungry, and you did not feed me, naked, and you did not clothe me. Jesus was, after all, in spiritual terms, a man of this world, a man in this world, but not of this world. In other words, Jesus identified with the afflictions and sufferings of ordinary people to the repressions of political, social, economic, and even religious injustice. Like Muhammad, Sakyamuni Buddha, Mahatma Gandhi, and even Martin Luther King Jr., Jesus spoke to humanity's blindness, to its perpetual greed, deceit, and savage arrogance that grips the human condition. For all the advancements we have made in science, medicine, and technology today, justice is, as a whole, very uneven, even, depending upon where and who it applies. The translation of hell from the King James Bible is derived from the term Gehenna, literally meaning the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. It refers to a historical site on the south side of Jerusalem, once a place of human sacrifices, even that of children. It was to be condemned and cursed by the prophets of Israel. By Jesus' day, it had become a garbage dump. It served as a foul, noxious place where hungry dogs roamed and fires burned. Jesus used these disturbing images in his sermons. He urged the people to repent, to change their minds, lest end up abandoned like refuse on a garbage heap. In other words, like Shakyamuni Buddha, who chose not to speak of the afterlife, Jesus was really telling the people that they should not waste their lives by throwing it away. In fact, Jesus' God was more loving, compassionate, and merciful, infinitely more so, he insisted, than even one's own parents, community, and society. In the Dhammapada, we find readings attributed to the Buddha's response to notions of heaven and hell. It reads, quote, "Man reaps what he has sown in the past into the present. What he sows now, he reaps in the present into the future. Man is himself mainly responsible for his own happiness and misery. He creates his own hell and heaven." Later Buddhism too, as it develops over China, still traces its origins in many ways to the early belief of transmigration. The notion of an afterlife and a mythology, as with every other world religion, the world of desire, the various realms of hell, depending upon one's previous acts, an animal, an angry spirit, a human being, a heavenly being. In this myth, judgment by Yama, the god of the dead, decides one's next birth during the first period of 49 days. But it is important for us to understand that in the Pure Land tradition, in particular, the inspirational founder points out most crucially that the task of a human being, as ordinary as one is to awaken in the light of the Buddha's world of enlightenment. And yet, while we are in this life and after this life, we do not simply stay there. There is a returning to the unenlightened world to now lead and guide others from the realm and land of delusion and suffering into the world of enlightenment. We should not think, therefore, that the Pure Land is some sort of heavenly paradise where we go to after we die. actually, in according to the founder's inspiration, there need no one be there. For once one has been there, one does not have to remain, but naturally return to this world, to the spiritual task of leading others to the world of enlightenment. Going forth to be born means to return to the sake of others. This is the spirit of our tradition. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.